So I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the War Powers Act, which is something we hear about every time we sort of stumble into these misadventures in the Middle East.
Yes, the War Powers Act was passed in 1974 with the intent of reining in presidential war making.
This will be right after Vietnam.
Yes, soon after Vietnam and the Richard Nixon administration. And it was part of one of a cluster of legislation that was voted in by a whole new raft of eager young Democrats called the Watergate babies at the time, because they basically came into political office in reaction against Watergate. The hope was to require presidents to come for congressional authorization for military action, and yet not tie a president's hands if there really was an impending threat to the United States.
Right.
The downside is that it's never worked.
Exactly.
Because presidents, I mean, we have had, until this administration, presidents making, getting some sort of a legislation through. They didn't think they needed it. For example, George W. Bush did not think he needed authorization for the attacks after 9/11, the military response to 9/11, but he did get it because it would make the war look more legitimate to everybody else. So, and Congress, in the midst of a military action, is truly not going to cut out funding for the troops. There's been a long history here of a battle between Congress and the presidency.
Here's my issue with the whole concept of a War Powers Act.
Yeah.
Declare war or not. That's what the Constitution says.
Yes. And in fact, there is no presidential role in that at all.
That's right.
And up even through Franklin Roosevelt in World War II, presidents deferred. It had to be Congress declaring war. It started with Truman and the Korean War.
Yes.
And he used, there was an agreement with that had included Korea.
Isn't that why we never called it? It was always a police action.
Yes, a police action or a military engage. And because
now
it was
an
trying
excursion.
To be. Yes, now know? It's an excursion. It happens to be called Epic Fury, but it's an excursion.
And for the exact same reason, they're trying to get around.
Yeah.
Not
this time, there's
her.
Nothing, though. There's not. I mean, in the past, they've at least been able to pin it to some sort of an international consensus, either membership in the United Nations, membership in NATO, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, which is how LBJ justified going into Vietnam. And he did, although it was based on a lie, he did get the Tonkin Gulf resolution from Congress that was basically an open-ended. And it was similar to what George W. Bush got for the military actions against Iraq.
Yeah, the authorization for the use of military force.
Yes,
which passed with one no vote in the House.
Yes.
Thank you, Barbara Lee.
Now, what is really different, what we're seeing here, is the president didn't even try to make a case.
Right.
Congress
didn't even notify.
Didn't notify, and that was a violation directly of War Powers Act.
Well,
you're at least at minimum supposed to notify Congress that this is happening. Didn't build a case with the American people.
I was going to say.
Didn't contact allies.
Goes to war a week after the State of the Union address.
Yes.
And gives it a couple of sentences in a two-hour snorathon.
Yeah.
That nobody paid attention to those sentences.
And now he seems to be shocked that allies don't want to come to help out of that, or that the American public is still opposed, and that media is covering the opposition, and so he's making all these threats.
Well, it was so easy to see coming.
Yes.
Yes. And now I'm gonna have the honor of taking Cuba.
Yeah.
He's a 13-year-old child playing Risk.
Yeah, and he has no consequence
the board game
of what the risks mean to really.
Yes, right.
Not only for human lives and the world economy and everything else, but really for our own national interests. We are much less secure than we were 2 months ago. Because, of course, this really opens us up to some real serious questions by the rest of the world. And so Japan's prime minister is going to be meeting with the president, I believe, today or tomorrow. She's coming. And it was supposed to be a feel-good reconnection because she's very conservative and they hit it off. She and Trump both really like Shinzo Abe, who had been assassinated a number of years ago. So they both love baseball, or she certainly does. I'm not sure what Donald Trump thinks about baseball, but she now is in this Taiwo Act because he's putting pressure on her. Hey, look what we did. We've been providing your security all these decades. Right. Now you owe us.
Well,
and yet she's 9% of the Japanese population agree.
Right.
Which means that 91% do not. And it's she does. They do have minesweepers, but under the law, well, their constitution is pacifist, which we hoisted on them after World War II. But the so their constitution is pacifist. Now, Abe did get through a change in the law to permit Japanese military action if there was really a threat to Japan's survival.
That's the thing.
Yep, and if or they could provide minesweepers if conflicts were done, and that's what they did in 91. They did use minesweepers at that. They did send them into the war zone after the war was over.
Yeah, Trump keeps saying NATO's not coming for us. NATO's not. We weren't attacked. The deal behind NATO is if we get attacked, they will help us defend ourselves.
Yes.
It's not that they will join us in conquests all over the world.
This is a war of choice.
Of course it is. Following Venezuela, which was a war of choice.
Yes.
And which went so well. Hey, let's do another one.
Yeah. And let's get rid of these guys.
It'll be just the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll use the same blueprint. It will come in with overwhelming force.
And you've got all these protesters in Iran, and they're going to rise up and have a peaceful revolution that we will provide the opportunity for. No, it is not happening.
And I wish somebody would explain the Persian Empire to the American people.
Yes.
I get so tired of hearing that this is a nation that's existed for 40 years.
Yes. There's a complete lack of understanding here and what this means in terms of the long-term consequences of a war in this region. There's real consequences that we're having to this bullying taking that this president engaged in. His efforts to resist any oversight or any accountability means he breaks not only historical precedent and the Constitution, but basic common sense strategy. You get people on board. That was one of the things that George W. Bush's advisors said. No, we need this vote. We have to have people come along with us. And they're not going to do it if they believe it's illegitimate. And it doesn't bother Donald Trump at all. I guess he's still just doing all of this. There's really only three powers that the president has that are even remotely related to military, because Congress does declare war. But, you know, the commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy and state militias, when they're called into service of the United States, the authority to commission all military officers. So far it's very, very meager.
Yeah, and then ceremonial.
More ceremonial. And then the take care clause. That's the part of the Constitution that recognizes the president as the chief executive. Presidents have used the commander-in-chief clause and the take care clause in the since the end of World War II in order to expand their authority, stretching it to say that, you know, we have these legal basis for intervening. But this is why we're seeing the references to wag the dog. It sure looks like the president is engaging in military action in order to divert attention from the Epstein files. And there was a little accusation that Clinton, when Wag the Dog came out as a movie, that it was Clinton was doing that because of Kosovo. There was a humanitarian crisis in Kosovo. Yeah. Serbian forces were killing people in Benghazi. Why am I drawing a blank? But so as a consequence, they are trying to.
I understand the wag the dog analogy. I disagree. I think Marco Rubio told it like it was.
Uh-huh.
Israel made this decision, and Donald Trump followed.
Yeah. Well, and then we saw with Kent leaving office yesterday.
Right.
I mean, that was really what Kent said. And, in fact, that gets us all to this whole point is, what is the underlying – why? Because Iran posed, as he said, no imminent threat to our nation. That's what Joe Kent wrote yesterday in his opposition letter, day before yesterday.
And these people who are arguing we should have done this 40 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, do you understand that's the exact opposite of imminent?
Yes.
A threat that has been lingering for 40 years
yes.
is not an imminent threat.
It is not.
They have been 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon since I was 16 years old.
That's right. And actually, they had stopped their production under
right.
the Obama administration
right.
and then only started up again because Trump and the first administration basically tore up all international agreements.
And to be clear, when I say that, that is the leader of Israel telling us that.
Yes,
that
no.
is Netanyahu
yeah.
telling us over and over and over and over and over again that,
yes.
that Iran is 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon.
Yep. And now Netanyahu is taking out heads of state, which is not heads of state, but these, well, military
yeah.
leaders.
Sure, everybody.
Anybody that
Every
could
find.
Be a stable voice in
right.
Iran has now been assassinated.
Well, they have layers.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're not. They're going to keep
yeah,
going.
Yeah, you know, I get
We're
back
only
to
adding
the Persian
to
Empire.
Iran's grievance.
Yes.
We are not building solidarity
yes.
with the people.
Yeah, no, we're, yes. This is, you know, people who don't understand the Shah and
yeah.
think that they took us hostage for no reason and they're
yes.
just horrible, vicious people.
Yeah. It's such a superficial understanding of what was going
it
on
is.
In that whole region. So what... I think another reason that Trump is taking this, quote, opportunity to engage in military action is because then he can silence critics here on the ground. So it's not simply deflection of Epstein.
Think?
Oh, yeah. I think he's already going after the news media.
He's trying.
Well, he's trying.
But he's
to.
Flailing.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that he thinks he could succeed by doing this.
Yeah, I know. I know. He thinks he can see. Well.
Because look
can
at what
tell though he does not have the confidence that he had when this thing started, and you know.
Well, we'll have to see. So far, I think he is so deluded, and he's surrounded by so many people in the administration.
But he's lashing out every day. Why aren't these other countries coming to our rescue?
Yeah.
You know,
well, we don't, and now he's saying, "Well, we don't need him." Yeah,
he's saying both.
Yep, I know.
He's saying both on everything. We could stop it right now, or you know, we're having fun. We're going to do this for fun. No, he's flailing.
But remember how he was trying to do this in domestic affairs by framing the opposition in Minnesota of all places as terrorists, and of course as the as immigrants, either legal or undocumented, as a national security threat. He
right.
thinks by claim and because historically presidents have been able to give it, been given much. Broader leeway when there is a genuine national security threat, or when, even if there isn't, the public perceives there to be one, that he's trying to manufacture it. I think he wants to add to his power.
Oh, that, of course.
So,
no question about that.
So I think that's what personally why he's doing it. But yes, it's also because Netanyahu has lied repeatedly in order to be able to get U.S. compliance on his policy
right.
goals for Israel.
Well, and Trump thought it would be easy. You know, Israel
yes.
will do the dirty work. We'll get all the credit.
Yeah. And now he's sending Marines. And what worries Japan is he's moving the forces from Asia, where they've been a comfort to Japan in the face of China. He's now moving them to the region. And that's a deep concern to that area of the world.
Well, and we at the same time, he's completely abandoned Ukraine.
Yes.
I forget, Zelensky said we used more weaponry, more Tomahawk whistles in the first hour of this campaign than we gave to Ukraine during its entire war.
Yes.
Or provided to Ukraine. I shouldn't say gave. So the rest of the world be damned. Russia is giving intelligence that is going to result in the deaths of American servicemen and women.
Yes, because Russia is an ally of Iran's. But meantime, for the flow of oil, Trump has given a pass to Putin.
Trump and Putin are comrades.
Yes, and so he's
buds.
Lifted the... It's such a schizophrenic approach. So he's lifted these sanctions on Russia in order to
right.
let oil flow.
Right.
So it's a win-win for Russia.
He is rewarding Russia for providing intelligence to our enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he's doing. I don't know how you get around it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think the Netanyahu's regime in Israel is reckless, and there's going to be a terrible consequences coming out of that. It'd be good to have a Middle East scholar here, but looking from a perspective of presidential power, he has moved well beyond anything that even war-hungry presidents have ever dared to do, because it is so illegal on so many levels, international law, constitutionally, War Powers Act, even the pretense that he has to consult Congress.
Well, and the thing is, we have moved incrementally but steadily to the point where every time he does something, his defenders can say, well, look at when Obama killed that guy with a drone that his dad was at New Mexico State, but he was a member of ISIS or one not Hamas, but ISIS or...
But Obama actually set up something called the Obama Doctrine, which is, first, we would only use the military if there were serious American interests at stake, or two, if it was, and it had to be multilateral. So the stuff Obama did was multilateral.
But the problem with that is it's his doctrine. He makes the decision. You know, so you're still cutting Congress out.
No. And Obama actually, yes, that has really been all of this. That was the complaint about the War Powers Act at the time, is instead of constraining the president, you're basically saying it's okay for the president to bypass the Constitution of the United States.
That's exactly right. That's
And so that
which
has
is why we're at where we're at today.
And that has been the case. And we're not even a pretense of following the War Powers Act anymore.
And I really believe that ever since Vietnam, Congress doesn't want to have that responsibility.
Well, and you're right. It requires guts and focus. But Congress during the World War II really held on to power, and it was frustrating to Franklin Roosevelt, because they, if anything, they'd pass the Neutrality Acts. They wanted to keep America out of another European conflagration.
And the notion that an American president would just willy-nilly take us to war, we'll hit Venezuela first, and then we'll send our armada to the other side of the world, and then when we're getting done, we'll come back to this side of the world and we'll go after Cuba.
It's exactly what the framers were worried about, because of the kings doing that.
Yes.
And bankrupting the country.
Right.
So we're now down that same path. We now have a king. Well, we knew that.
Yeah.
Or a dictator. Maybe he's not a king.
So nothing, obviously, is going to happen with this Congress.
No. But I do think, if anything, this could spur turnout for the Democrats. So I think, I know that there's real efforts to pass that SAFE Act on voting, but it's not, there's going to be, I believe, so many legal challenges if it does pass.
Oh, it's not going to pass. No.
God, I hope not. Well, and it's going to hurt the red states more than it's going to the blue. They haven't even calculated that.
When you say they, there is no they. It's a he.
Yeah, it's right. Okay.
And he doesn't care.
Yeah.
If he still thinks, and probably not wrong, that the whole women, trans women in sports, and that whole issue got him elected. And
yep.
I'm not saying it was but it was his main message. I mean, the last month before that election, you couldn't watch any kind of sporting event without seeing that ad saying Kamala Harris wants to give prisoners free sex changes.
Yeah.
She's for they, them. He's for you. Donald Trump's for you. Over and over and over.
Yeah.
And so he wants to ride that horse again. So he has tacked that into the bill. It's his big old wish list.
Yep.
No mail-in voting unless you're a soldier serving overseas. And you're right.
But for
in
women,
states like Florida and a lot of rural states where people live far away from the voting, the polling place,
are going to be adversely affected.
And are
married
old
women who have changed their name are going to have to provide documentation.
Right. He's trying to get John Thune to kill the filibuster, and Thune is not going to do it. And so it's not going to pass.
No, I believe that's true. And we're going to be all right during the midterms. It's not going to be it would not be passing time anyway for the midterms.
But the truth is, I've said this before, if they want to do voter ID and the government is willing to pay the expense to make sure that everybody who's an eligible voter does not have to go digging through their own, whatever it takes.
Yeah, for paperwork.
Yes. We will do that research for you, and we will provide you with that card. And if the documents simply aren't available and you've been voting for 30 years, we're not going to prevent you from voting. We have to prove we have to prove our case. You don't have to prove. The burden of proof should be on them to prevent you from voting.
Yes, but they're not going to do that.
Well, that's, but if they and would, I would support that.
It's state-based anyway.
Well.
So the Fed should never be involved in election matters.
That's true. But they, you know, the Help America Vote Act, and, you know, they've kind of taken steps in that direction already.
Yes, that's true. But it's in an effort to expand the franchise, not to limit it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that isn't going to pass, but that is going to be one more failure, to be honest.
Yes, and that's why Donald Trump needs a military win.
Oh, desperately. And that's you know, that's why he was trying to gerrymander the states, and and that's why he's seizing voting records for no reason.
No, and in fact, that's very chilling. And that's why I would be against a national ID. Remember, that was the big debate over the Social Security card, is that creates then a national ID.
Yeah. And to an extent, it did.
It has. Yeah. We have to give our social for all sorts of things.
Yeah,
our financial records are all under.
So. That's true. And I think that's one of the things for New Mexico's ID that they can ask you. I think there are three questions they can ask you, and that may be one of them. Your birthday, and I forget.
Yeah, it's been so long since I registered to vote the first time when I moved here. Oh.
Right.
I've been registered ever since, so I haven't had to re-register. I forgot.
Right. But yeah, I don't think. Well, I know that that's not going to pass.
Yep.
And Congress, you know, the House. I thought somebody called in, but we're in our final minutes of the first segment.
But you're welcome to call in and join our discussion, or wait. I believe with Jim Peach here, you can call in. I think with our later guests, they're calling in themselves. Is that true?
Yeah, from 9:45 on.
Okay.
That'll be true. Oh. No, that 9:15 on.
9:15.
Like you say, we only have, 9:45. We only have 15 more minutes to go after that. That can't be right.
So, yes, presidents use foreign affairs to refocus U.S. public attention away from a bad domestic situation. And that's just more of the strangeness of real life playing out like fiction.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to think locally, the Sun News just reported who, I guess filing day has come.
I haven't
seen that.
Did our colleague Daisy Maldonado file?
They didn't I didn't see that they reported on. They were just doing the legislator races that I remember seeing.
Okay.
But yeah, I should have looked that up. But
no, that's all right. I was just curious.
Yeah. So anyway, we do have a primary election coming up in June. And it was the same thing as it always is. It was a little bit better this time in terms of uncontested races. Angelica Rubio was uncontested. I think Nathan Small, is uncontested. I'm trying to remember. I should have brought the column in with me. But that's always been one of my – that's why we need to pass this constitutional amendment, so that we can pay legislators, so that people can afford to run for office.
Yes. That really is a – because not only is it an expense to run, but then, of course, to serve.
Yeah, if you get elected, now you're really
– what are you going to do with your job? Most jobs don't give you a pass.
Exactly. And so that's why most people don't even run, and that's why we have so many of these uncontested races, which just are very frustrating.
It's not good for democracy. We want to have alternative options.
And incumbents who don't get challenged don't have the same incentive to listen to voters, to do town hall meetings, to respond to emails, to do all that stuff that. If the voters are holding your feet to the fire, and you know you're going to have to face them every 2 or 4 years.
Have you found it in your years of journalism to be true that say, you can't get calls back from legislators who are running unopposed?
It's a lot harder.
Huh.
Especially at election time. And, well, you know, we see that here. Actually, the truth is, for a long time, we didn't even invite the ones who were on. So that was on us. We should have.
Yeah.
Because everybody deserves to hear from their senator or representative.
And at minimum, you could choose not to vote.
Yeah.
Or to vote, you know, just a write-in candidacy or something if you're really irritated at the person that running unopposed. So there are options, not efficacious options.
Not efficacious options. That's true.